politicians is like a bad reality show. Then you watch people have heated debates regarding what is an appropriate form of protest, whether to stand, sit, or kneel before a flag, yet no one wants to discuss the root of the protest, which is the issue of social injustice regarding the killing of unarmed men of color. We keep hearing everyone wants unity, and because we are the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. But it does not take a genius to see in reality that we are a nation divided, who refuses to be under God, where division, oppression, and injustice is subject to all who do not look like or support the ideologies of the majority. Now, the sad thing is, our concerns are not just national issues. Because if we tell the truth and open the doors of our homes, our families are also divided. Uh-huh. As brothers and sisters don't talk, wives and husbands are estranged. And the toxicity of dysfunction, of unforgiveness and abuse are typical threads of our family dynamics. Uh-huh. It seems like death visits our homes far too often, as we seem like we attend more funerals than family reunions. And if it's not issues with family, our health is not what it used to be. You address one physical ailment, and soon there's something else that's wrong. And if it's not your health, it's finances. There never seems to be enough money, but always plenty of bills. Yes, sir. We go through life searching for purpose and calling. You believe you heard from God, and you know He has a plan for you, but nothing appears to be happening. And you begin to doubt, did God really say that, or did I misinterpret the message? And in frustration, you ask God, what am I supposed to do? I need order, direction, comfort, and rest. I'm trying to do the right thing. I show up to Emory Grove faithfully with my church smile and always offer an abundance of amens and God bless yous. I read and study my Bible. I tithe and give offerings. But I find myself always coming to the altar every Sunday morning with more burdens. So Jesus, with all due respect, where are you at a time such as this? A call out to the Lord, but it seems like He doesn't hear my cry. I'm out of options. I'm at the end of my rope. I have reached my last nerve, and the straw on the camel's back has been broken. I tried everything, and nothing seems to be working. If that is you today or somebody you may know, maybe you have not tried everything. Is it possible that you have not reached your breakthrough yet? Because maybe these issues can only be addressed through prayer and fasting. If I had to use a title for today's sermon, it would simply be, I Give Up. Amen. Our scripture reading is coming from the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, as was already read, but for those who may have come in late. Mark chapter 9, I will be reading verses 28 and 29 from the New King James Version. And the Word of God says, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Let us pray. Lord, give me a clean heart so I may serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be used by thee. For I am not worthy of all these blessings. Give me a clean heart, and I'll follow thee. Most sovereign God, we come to you as humbly as we can, looking for a word, asking you, Lord, to speak to us in a new way. Soften our hearts, Lord, that we may be able to receive what you have in store for us today. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come upon us and give us an opportunity to see you in a new way. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would Bless the words of my heart. Bless the meditation of my heart, that it may be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. And the scripture read, many of us may be more familiar with the beginning of this story, where a desperate man comes to Jesus to heal his son who is possessed by what is called a mute spirit or a demon. Now, the man initially brings his son to the disciples to address the issue, but they were unable to cast the spirit out of him. So he goes to Jesus and says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. But Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Now, this story is often preached and taught to address the topic of faith. But after Jesus cast the demon out of the boy, there was a parking lot meeting, a discussion after the benediction, or a meeting after the meeting between the disciples and Jesus. You see, oftentimes we as Christians like to give the appearance that everything is okay on the outside. Now, when I was growing up, we called it fronting. Meaning you put on a false face to those on the outside, well, there's something going on the inside. See, the disciples were fronting before the people after the healing like everything was okay. So if I can share with you with my sanctified imagination, I see the disciples shaking hands with the people, giving out some God bless yous, and shouting, and won't he do it? And telling the people to go high five 10 people around you in Jesus' name. But internally, the disciples had a problem because the text says, when they got to the house and were finally alone in private with Jesus. Now I can see that they probably closed the door. Thank you. They put down the windows and they closed the blinds. And they said, hey, Jesus, let us holler at you for a minute. Because we need to know why we couldn't cast out that spirit. Now, to truly understand the meaning behind that question, you have to go back to chapter 6, verse 7, where it says, Jesus called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they healed them. Jesus had given them power and authority to cast out demons. They were anointed with the gifts of preaching and healing and seeing the power of God work through them in a special way. But the question we need to ask today is, why could they not cast out that demon like all the others? What is so different about this situation? Well, part of being a good disciple is by closely observing what the teacher does and what the teacher says. If the disciples were paying close attention, when the man brought his son to Jesus, the text says, and when the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus then asked him a question. He said in verse 21, how long has this been happening? And the man answered, since childhood. The man goes on to say how the demon would often throw his son into the fire and water to try and kill him. So Jesus first observes the symptoms, and then he asks him, how long has this been going on, so that he can get a full, complete medical history. You see, in order to properly treat the problem, Jesus needs to know the severity of the situation. Somebody need to say amen right there. What Jesus determined was, this was not a simple fix. This was a desperate and deep-rooted issue that the disciples were not at this time prepared to address. You see, this demonic situation has been going on for several years, and to cast this demon out required a different spiritual approach. Jesus tells his disciples, this kind can only be cast out through prayer and fasting, meaning they only tried what worked for them in the past, but when the situation is deep and desperate, you not only need to pray, but you need to fast too. So you're asking why? Because when you pray and fast, you are taking your prayer to another level. Prayer and fasting is like sending an email to God marked urgent because it must be read now. Prayer and fasting is like sending an email to God marked urgent because it must be read now. Fasting is like sending a letter, priority mail, or FedEx next day, which means you must pay more to get this prayer through. Fasting is like shining a bright light on a specific issue you are seeking God to address now. Now, when you pray and fast, you are letting God know you are serious about the situation, which requires divine intervention in a mighty way. So the question is there anyone in the house today that is in a situation that requires a different spiritual approach? Maybe your issue can only be resolved through prayer and fasting. Now, if some of you were paying attention when Sister Cook read the scripture, you may have noticed that when she finished, the word fasting was not mentioned, which depends actually on your Bible translation. Now, some theologians believe that fasting in the context of the scripture was not part of the original Greek text, but was added to a later translation because of the importance of this discipline, which was practiced in the early church, or because the concept of fasting was implied. Possibly fasting was not even written, but placed in a margin by the scribe who copied the text. Now, theologians actually may make several valid arguments why fasting really isn't a required discipline. But for today, the purpose of this sermon is not to prove whether fasting is required, because in my study and research, I have not identified the scripture that says, thou shalt fast. Come on now. But the purpose for today's sermon is to strongly recommend why and when the discipline of fasting should be practiced. Today, I believe the discipline of fasting is not a routine practice among many Christians, unlike the disciplines of reading, scripture, prayer, or even giving. Yet fasting is found throughout the pages of the Bible to address issues that were considered urgent or extremely important to the individual. Now, the only time we who are familiar with fasting practice it during the Lenten season, where many of us look at it as an opportunity to lose weight. Some of us practice fasting solely for the physical benefits, but fasting is not a spiritual discipline if it is not linked with prayer and seeking after the will of God. So if you're only addressing the physical without the intentions of to connect to the spiritual, you are just on a sanctified diet. So the first thing, what does it actually mean to fast? The word for fast in the Hebrew means to cover the mouth, and in the Greek it means to abstain or withdraw. Therefore, typically, fasting is the laying aside of food for a period of time when the believer is seeking to know God with a deeper experience. Now, throughout the Bible, there are different types of fast. For example, there's a fast called an absolute fast, where you abstain from food and water. There's also what is called a normal fast, where you just abstain from food for a period of time. And lastly, there is a partial fast where you restrict your diet from certain foods. Fasting is also not just denying yourself from food. It is exchanging the needs of the physical body for those of the spiritual. So the more time you spend with God in fellowship and worship, and the more you read and meditate on his word, the greater your effectiveness will be in prayer, which will make your fasting more meaningful. So you say to yourself, okay, I think I'm ready to fast. But why is prayer not enough? why do I need to give up something? Because the things of life cloud our vision and are so loud that we can't see or hear God clearly. You see, when the things of life comes between us, it eventually creates a disconnection or puts limitations on our relationship with God. You see, when the daily bread is coming without fail, it's easy to forget how precious the bread is, as well as who the bread is actually coming from. Sometimes life is so loud that it's not until you turn down. Y'all got that? Until you turn down the plate or cut off the distraction for a period of time, which in some cases may be food, the television, social media, to help you reconnect with God so that you can hear his voice more clearly. Yes, sir. Now, I remember growing up as a teenager, there was a time when I was listening to my music with my earphones on. Now, my mom was telling me to do something, but I barely could hear because, in essence, my music was loud and I had my earphones on. Mm-hmm. Now, because I didn't hear, I could not do what she was asking me to do. The question is why? Because my song was on. And to tell you the truth, I was really not that interested in doing what she was asking me to do. But I could see that she was instructing me again with a little bit more urgency. But my song was still on and the music was still loud, meaning I still could not hear. So eventually in my frustration, I said something that still makes me shudder to this day. I said, "Get on my nerves." Now, what I thought was a soft voice, because the music was up loud, my remark was actually able to be clearly heard by her. Now, the look on her face was the moment I realized I still had my earphones on, and the fear of God came upon me. And I prayed for the Lord to have mercy on me. Now, maybe I blacked out, because to be honest, I don't even remember what happened after that. But I thank God I am here today to tell you about it. You see, sometimes you need to fast from certain things, in this case, loud music, not only to receive instruction, but to save your life. Have mercy. So when do you fast? Whenever you need God in a mighty way. Yeah. Now, somebody is saying, "I need thee every minute and every hour." But throughout the Bible, fasting often occurred at times when one was seeking mercy, instruction, or deliverance from God regarding a desperate situation. You see, in the book of Esther, when faced with the threat of genocide, Esther and the Jews fasted from food and water for 3 days before she entered the king's court to ask for his mercy, and God delivered them from their enemies. In the book of Jonah, the whole city of Nineveh learned they were going to be judged by God because of their wickedness, and as a result, the entire city and even the animals fasted and called for God's mercy, and he spared them. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah fasted and prayed to God over the destruction of Jerusalem, and God provided him a way to help rebuild the walls. And even Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and at the end of the fast, the angels came and ministered to him, and soon after that, he began his public ministry, which in essence changed the world as we know it today. Now, we as a church body want to see God's divine intervention in the desperate situations we are facing today. But the question again is, how important are these issues to you? Can we as a church who always can identify an opportunity to eat, make an effort to say, instead of a weekend of food and fellowship, this time we are going to devote a weekend to God for prayer, fasting, and fellowship. Amen. Now I know somebody just got mad. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Because eating in church goes together like peanut butter and jelly. Morning Bible study requires donut and coffee. A special dinner must follow homecoming, Mother's Day, and Women's Day, and Men's Day service. Church breakfast is required on Easter Sunday. And if I have any witnesses in the house today, we have a fall festival. And Good Friday. Which are highlighted by all you can eat, perfectly cooked, golden brown, fried dinners with potato salad, string beans, and a roll. Not only that, you get homemade apple pie. Not just homemade apple pie, but the pie that has to be a la mode. Can I get a witness in the house today? He acting up. And in summer, we barbecue for outdoor worship and during vacation Bible school. After funerals, we have a repast. And every first Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But if we decide to pray and fast, we will be better equipped to transform the world, love our community, and be committed to Christ. Now, let me be clear. Fasting is by no means easy, as we need to understand that when we decide to fast, we are now entering into a time of heightened spiritual devotion. And Satan will do everything he can do to pull you away from your prayer and Bible reading time. You see, the enemy makes you a target because he knows fasting is a powerful Christian discipline and that God may have something very special to show you as you wait upon him and seek his face. So when you feel the enemy trying to discourage you, immediately go to God in prayer and ask him to strengthen your resolve in the face of difficulties and temptation. Because if you read Luke 4, when Jesus was fasting, the enemy showed up to him to get him off track. But Jesus' focus was on the will of the Father. So whenever Satan tried to trip him up, Jesus spoke the word. You see, even though Jesus was hungry, he was filled with the word. But after Jesus had enough of Satan, he eventually said, "Get behind thee, Satan." And the text said he left him for a season. Just because you fast and pray, and the devil may leave you alone today, don't think he may come back. Because for some of us, he's waiting for you right now after church. Go ahead, Robert. But practically, when you decide to fast, if you have a medical condition, you should seek the assistance of a health professional. But when you are preparing to fast, you have to do it with purpose. Somebody say purpose. You also need to understand that fasting requires you to sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. You do not eat a big breakfast or lunch so you are not hungry at dinner time and say you are not fasting from dinner. You do not say I'm fasting from TV from the hours of 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. because you're going to be asleep anyway. You do not say I'm fasting from my phone after the phone company has turned your phone off. Now, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was reading a book on fasting, and a woman saw the book I was reading and asked me, "Well, what are you reading?" So I told her, "It's a book on fasting," and she said, "Wow, I can't do that because I love to eat." So I responded, well, you know, you just don't have to fast from just food. She said, yeah, okay, well, I fast from coffee because I don't like coffee. She missed the entire concept of fasting because fasting requires sacrifice. But when you do fast, this is also not an opportunity to brag about being super spiritual and to show God and show everybody how holy you are. Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your father who is in secret, and your father who sees you in secret will reward you. Also realize when you fast and pray, you will not get everything you want, because the purpose of fasting and prayer is not solely about getting the desires of your heart met, but to bring you into a closer relationship with God so you will be able to receive God's word, whether he says yes, no, or wait.
That's good. That's good.
Now that we have learned a little bit about fasting, I don't want us to leave today before you ask yourself the question, what am I willing to give up to get closer or to hear from God? So if you haven't asked the question, I'll ask it for you. What are you willing to give up to receive divinely inspired direction for your life? What are you willing to give up to save your marriage? What are you willing to give up to be delivered from debt? What are you willing to give up to bring that child back who walked away from God? What are you willing to give up to break the stronghold of addiction that has been plaguing you for the past 20 years? What are you willing to give up to break that generational curse that has been plaguing your family for years? What are you willing to give up to ask God to send us leaders who are willing to lead rather than act like children? What are you willing to give up to ask God to provide justice for all people, regardless of race, color, or creed? What are you willing to give up to cast out the spirit of pride, unforgiveness, depression, despair, immorality, idolatry, worthlessness, fear, guilt, racism, rejection, hate, blame, bitterness, and betrayal? Now, during my preparation for this sermon, I actually fasted periodically. And God allowed me to see some things in my life that I take for granted. What I experienced through fasting is how my spirit became more sensitive in recognizing the goodness of God throughout my life. So in my fasting, I began to thank God that when the noise was quieted, I could hear his voice and know that he walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I am his own. So today I thank God for blessing me with a loving wife and children that I don't even deserve. I thank God for waking me up, providing a roof over my head, clothes on my back, food on the table, and being able to function in my right mind. I thank God for being a part of this place called Emory Grove. I thank God for the honor to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that Jesus saw me through eternity past before I was even born and looked at my spiritual health and recognized I was terminal with sin. But Jesus was not willing to leave me in my fallen state. And one day he introduced me as the great physician. He told me not to worry because you now have come in contact with a doctor that has never lost a case. He said, I am willing to give myself as a living sacrifice to save you from sin. Now, I don't know about you, but Jesus died for me over 2,000 years ago. And because of that, he helps me be willing to give up the desires of the flesh in order to draw closer with him. Now, is there anybody in the house willing to give up because of what God has given to you? That's not a rhetorical question. In closing, when you get to a point of desperation with a deep-rooted issue that has yet to be resolved. Consider, maybe this kind can only be addressed through prayer and fasting. Amen.